Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's the Melchester Odyssey again. And I have in my left hand, 1st of September 1984, issue of Right of the Rovers. Every Monday, it says here. And across the top in... I don't know what font that is, Sam, but it's the standard font. Well, you know, remember Letraset? That's the standard font you would get when you bought some Letraset.
Great font. It is, yeah. Mm. It's that you don't see enough of it anymore. It's not dissimilar to Arial, but it's not Arial.
No. I mean, I used that on, like, fanzines I did when I was, like, 17.
Yeah.
It looks amateurish now, looking at it on Royal Rovers.
It's a classic fanzine. It's a classic one. There's an artist I know called Hayden Case who, like, went out with my sister when they were very young, and he subsequently became, like, quite famous, you know, and he's done well for himself. But when he was dating my sister, they were teenagers, and I remember I said to my sister, what's old Hayden, what's he... doing at university in Sri Lanka. He's not doing anything like that. He's stopped education. I said, oh, right, has he got a job? She went, yeah. And I said, what's that then? She went, artist. And you can imagine, I was like,
fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So anyway, who was the mug?
Like Tony Hancock in The Rebel.
Yeah, but I was the mug because, you know, I was in Margate last week and I saw he had his own fucking outlet there. You know, anyway, he's a lovely guy and he's done really well for himself. And the reason he comes to my mind is that when I first knew him, he was banging to Letraset, right? But Letraset was going, like, out. No one was using it because obviously now everyone had Apple Macs and could print high-quality shit at home, right? And so he was buying up Letraset like a crazy man, right? He was going to straight to the Letraset fucking source, to the factory, and buying up all the old stock because he was making shit by hand, Letraset art pieces, right? Mixing up the lettering and all of this sort of stuff. And I remember him telling me, it's hard to come by, and I've got my name out. This is way before he became famous. He said, I've got my fucking name out there. He's like, if you've got any Letraset going, send it my fucking way. I'll pay for it, yeah. Right? And I remember then, even then, I liked him. I was like, fucking hell. What the hell's going on? Can't he get a proper job, right? He's running around. He's not even making money. He's spending what money he's got on fucking Letraset like a lunatic. But one thing he did do was when I had just set up a company at the time, a small company just to do little bits of content for people, right? And it was called 60 Billion. Not Studio 60 Billion, which eventually came later, which, you know, you sometimes worked with.
The original 60 Billion Classic.
It was 60 Billion, but classic. It was just me, right? It was just me, really. It was like a one-man show. But I decided he came to stay, and we went away, me and my missus, before we had kids, and they came to stay and sort of house sit. And he said, I really appreciate getting to stay in your place. I'd like to pay you, but I don't have money. And I said, no, you're doing me a favour. You don't need to pay me. You're doing me a favour, right? He went, no, I'd like to pay you, but obviously I don't have any money. Is there anything I can do using my artist skills? And I said, I said, yeah, I tell you what, why don't you design me some branding for my company, right? And he goes, yeah, all right.
Fuck off.
He goes, he went, yeah, all right.
I was thinking 30 quid, mate.
Yeah, but I thought he'd just literally, I didn't expect him to spend time there. I thought he'd like, you know, maybe by hand or using his lecture set, do a nice little logo and that would be that. Fucking come back from holiday, 2 weeks away, right? He has, by hand, made me over 50 individual business cards, right?
Yep. You,
right, each one is painstakingly cut out bits of cardboard using a scalpel by hand, and he's made 50 individual business cards, right? Each one with a different unique design on, right? Using lecture set and hand-drawn doodles, yeah?
Nice.
And I'm like, fucking hell, that's amazing. Years later, and I was very grateful, but I thought, I'm not giving these out to people like a normal business card because they're too good. They're all unique. Yeah. And I thought to myself, and who knows, one day he might become a superstar and his art might be worth something.
And then I'll flog him.
And the end of the story is, he is now famous and his artwork is worth a lot. And I do wonder whether or not, because this is very, very early stuff that is no one else would have, it might be worth a lot of money. But you know what? I can't fucking find him anywhere, Andy.
Ah, because if I do,
and I did say to him one night, like, I hadn't seen him years, he'd split up my sister years beforehand, but they're still pals. And one night when I was still, before I got sober, let's just say that in those days, I would sometimes find myself up late at night feeling chatty.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that anyone who's ever had a problem with the terrible cunt drug cocaine will know that one of the systems that a cocaine user will fall into is hanging like a vulture on Facebook late at night to see who else is up and then quickly trying to start a conversation with them because you're so mental, right? And one night I saw he was up. And it was years, and it, by this stage, he'd made a name for himself. And I was like, all right, mate, how's it going? It's like 3 a.m. He's like, yeah, all right, yeah, not bad. So, yeah, listen, I've still got a load of art somewhere in my attic or in the storage that you did. Do you reckon it's worth anything now? I mean, obviously, I wouldn't sell it because I treasure it. And he just wrote back, sell the lot of it.
Correct.
Fucking sell it, mate.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But I can't. Treasure. I need to fucking find it. If there's any Hayden Hayes fans listening who see an opportunity here to rip me off in return for some fast cash, then by all means, get in touch. But yeah, quite a touch.
Well, there's some on eBay. There's some letter set type stuff called Decadry, so it's still around. It's, still
right.
It's not cheap.
Mm.
Varying prices on eBay, but it's still a thing. You still
use it. Were you, when you made these fanzines, were you quite, did you get pretty good? Because there's a real skill to using lecture set. It ain't easy. Like, when you peeled back, was there any breakage on your peel back?
No, I got good at it. I got trial and error kind of thing. I got good at it. Yeah. I can't remember what the system was that I
not
used.
Not too
now,
firm, but not too soft either. Just right.
That's the
and then very slowly peel back the plastic sheet.
Yeah.
And what a feeling.
Yeah.
When it's sitting there just so, I mean, you know, I didn't do it to your level. I was an amateur lecture set occasional user and my hit rate was 50-50 at best. But when I did get one that just sat just so, nice and flush on the page, totally unbroken or cracked, what a feeling. Few better feelings in life, satisfaction-wise. Yeah.
I might get some and just do some letter setting just because, just for hobbying.
Kids of today, they don't know that the struggle was real. Because it was, wasn't it?
It was so hard back then.
It was. Yeah. The struggle was real, the letter set struggle.
I used to write stuff for the NME back in 95 and I used to type it out on a word processor and then print it out on my word processor. And then I had to go to a local insurance company who had a fax machine.
Wow.
Pay £1 to use their fax to fax me
copy.
Wow.
And then they would have to then type it in. They'd have an office junior there at the NME type in your fax pages into their system.
Yeah, to copy it and put it into
the speed at which things happen. So it's like, I remember in my first job on a magazine, people would I was working in-house, but I remember seeing freelancers who I was really in awe of. You know, these guys who'd sort of stroll in looking kind of relaxed and urbane, right? And they'd stroll into the office and they'd drop off a floppy disk.
Ooh.
And yeah, I remember thinking, wow, that's the life. I was thinking to myself, whoa, what a great relaxing lifestyle they have. Because they come in and because they don't work in the office, they seemed impossibly exotic. And sometimes they might have been doing a travel piece or something, so they'd come back, a bit of a tan, and it would be like those scenes in Indiana Jones where he goes back to the university for a few days to do some teaching. And people are like, oh my God, things you've seen. And he'd come in and, you know, the girls would flirt with him. There was a few of them. And I would really like, you know, I was very junior. I was probably too nervous to even speak to them. But I'd look up to them as like real heroes. And they'd come in and they'd like, you know, sort of, walk over to whoever the commissioning editor was and just sort of casually fling a floppy disk onto their desk with a sort of, with the air of, there you go, come load that up in your fucking word processor.
There you go, 3,000 words on Bogota. Yeah. See you later.
And the fuck, where do I put this fucking invoice that's on a bit of paper? Right.
The main thing,
And I thought, oh, what a lovely casual lifestyle, which is ironic because now, the idea that if you wrote something, you'd have to go and hand deliver it on a floppy disk or anything else for that matter, it just sounds like the biggest pain in the arse I can imagine. Imagine that. Oh, I finished my article. I'm just getting on the fucking tube into central London to walk in some office and have to talk to a bunch of cunts, hand in my work and hand in my fucking invoice. Fuck that. I'd rather not do the job in the first place. Different times.
You can't go back.
Can't.
But we are going back. See how I segued there to Roy of the Rovers. 1st of September 1984. Arsenal start in sign, please. Arsenal 1984, what do you reckon?
Arsenal 1984.
I'll have a guess as well.
This is pre-Charlie Nicholas, I think.
I think this is peak Charlie Nicholas, 84.
You think it's peak
but
Charlie
I'm not
going to
guess Charlie Nicholas.
Not going to guess Charlie Nicholas. It's before all those youngsters came through. I think it's the Don Howe era.
Mm.
So it's just before your Tony Adams, your David Rowcastles, etc. So I think it was that era. I'm going to say Kenny Sansom.
I'm going to go David O'Leary.
Okay.
Let's see who it is. Centre pages. Fuck, where is it? There it is. Wow, it's Paul Mariner.
Paul Mariner. It's almost forgotten he fucking played for them.
Of course. Another one. Like Alan Brazil, Ipswich Town star who then moved on and we've forgotten that they actually...
Yeah, Ipswich Town. And then anyway. I think he went to like Portsmouth or something.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
He passed away, didn't he, last year, Paul Mariner? No longer with us.
He played for like England in the 1982 World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah.
In fact, in this era, in this era, before George Graham joined, their stars, I was struggling to piece it together, but that was it. I think they had Paul Mariner and Tony Woodcock up front before Woodcock went to Germany.
Yeah.
And they were both England players, but people sort of thought they were a bit, I mean, he's just passed away, so I don't want to say people thought he was shit, but there was those kind of players who were playing for England, but a lot of people were a bit like, why are they playing for England? Trevor Francis should be playing every game or what have you. And they also had in midfield in the same era Graham Ricks, didn't they?
Yeah, they will have done. The disgraced Graham Ricks.
Graham Ricks. And their fullbacks were both the England fullbacks. Viv Anderson on the right and Kenny Sansom on the left.
Anyway, can we
no, try but and attempt don't you rules? Enjoy a little bit talking about, just literally, just talking about players who used to play football?
Just naming players.
Yeah, just naming players. It's great. I love it. I think we could do episodes. Well, I mean, it's like that game that Max Rushton does. I think he still does it, doesn't he, on TalkSport. What's it called? It's named after a player.
Culverhouse.
Ian Culverhouse. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's great fun.
I did the warm-up with Max and I got to play it myself. I was really nervous.
Yeah.
Because you're not out of notes or anything. It's all got to be out of your head.
Yeah. No, I've done it. Terrifying. I've done it when I filled in for him. And the reason it's intimidating is that first you've got to come up with the right names because they can't.
Yeah.
They've got to be just slow. Like, I don't think Kenny Sansom or Paul Mariner would necessarily be good enough for Ian Colhouse.
That's pre-Culverhouse.
It's pre-Culverhouse, plus they're a bit too well-known. What you want is a player who is just a journeyman, who you'd only know from the sticker albums. You wouldn't know from any other reason.
Or fantasy football auctions from when that started. It's that like sort 94. Of
thing. Yeah, so they'd never be known for anything other than that. And so there's that, but also, I think when you listen to Max doing it, it's the timing when you're doing Culverhouse. And I was playing his role, and I was a fan of the show already. And it's the timing is everything, the way you deliver the names. And that is something that I struggled with. I couldn't.
Like Leroy Sett.
He's the master.
There's an art to it.
He's the master. He'd set a bar, and I didn't feel that I was able to reach that.
Yeah, like Leroy Sett, there's an art to it. Not there too is, firm, yeah. not yeah. too soft.
Right. Anyway.
I'm not sure whether it's worth just chatting shit for another 10 minutes or whether we should actually attempt this Roy of the Rovers.
Well, I'll tell you we what could we'll at do. Least we'll have talk a look, about see what the else. Cover. Yeah.
There's something else within the pages that I sent you over, I think, in the images. We'll just talk about that and then we'll do the story next week.
Is it the ad?
Yeah, the full page advert in colour.
Yeah.
Because this is. There's something wrong with this issue of Roy the Rose, and that letter set is a clue, I think. And the fact that the two of the four pages of Roy the Rovers are in black and white, there's some kind of production.
There's a print or production, probably it's in that era. There's probably industrial action.
Yeah, it's not right. This issue is not right.
Jalapeño.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
I feel almost tempted to tweet Barry Tomlinson, who was the editor, who is very active on Twitter. And I'm sure he's aware of these podcasts. I hope he hasn't listened to them because...
Right, yeah, because he's...
Although we do this with love. There's a lot of swearing. Yeah, he's quite an elderly man.
Yeah, he might not get... Look, he might think we're taking a piss. We're not. And he might think we're being disrespectful, which is not our intention.
He's liked some of the tweets that we've done about it in the past. But I think
Why don't we just tweet him and say, why were these pages in black and white in 84?
Yeah.
Are you worried that we might alert him? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now, because if not, we'll forget.
Well, he's not going to reply during the episode, is he?
You never know. He might be like me when I was on Coke on Facebook, just hovering and waiting for someone to be there. How are you doing?
I'm not feeling as though there's that much difference between you then and you now sometimes.
Well, I don't pounce on people on Facebook.
But you're live pouncing. You're doing a live pounce now on Barry Tomlinson.
Oh, yeah, well, sometimes just when the moment strikes you, you've got to do it.
All right, are you doing it?
Yeah.
Apologies to everyone who's tuned in to listen to the Roy the Rover story.
Well, we can carry on podding while I do it. I can multitask.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk about what was happening. Last time, Jeff Boycott has taken over as the chairman of Melchester Rovers, and for some reason, Jimmy Slade has lost his fucking mind as a result in a deranged attempt to impress Jeff Boycott. He scored a goal, which was a positive thing. He also committed a heinous foul, which wasn't a positive thing. I've just found something else, Sam, which you're going to love, which I hadn't seen and I didn't send to you, but I'll just have to show you. It's Star Wars related. Just let me know when you've finished your...
No, I'm not. I can't find him on Twitter. I'll have to do it later. So let's just turn our attentions back to the matter.
If you buy 6 action figures of Return of the Jedi and cut out the names from the front and send the 6 names with your name and address and a cheque for 33 pence to cover the postage, you get a free Rancor Keeper.
Oh, the Rancor Keeper, one of my favourite figures. I actually did have the Rancor Keeper. Yeah, I did.
Look at him, his top off.
I had him and I had the, you know, the Gregorian guards who were the big green cunts, and they were fat too. And I made them fight to the same size. And what I actually remember thinking was, right, the cost is the plastic. The production cost is the plastic, yeah?
Yeah.
And if you compare the Rancor Keeper or the Gregorian guards to, like, just the normal figure of, like, let's say Princess Leia, who's quite slight, right? It was, like, 3 times the amount of plastic, and yet the price of the figure was the same. And I was like, I must have been a fucking boring kid. Because I was sitting there looking at my figures and thinking, how are they making a margin on this? How are they making a margin on a Rancor Keeper? The amount of plastic they got put into it doesn't make any sense.
So, for example, a Chewbacca would be worth better value for money than, let's say, Princess Leia.
Or R2-D2, who's just a little cunt, isn't he?
He's wide. R2-D2's wider.
All right, you know Yoda, then. What about Yoda?
Oh, yeah, definitely Yoda. A Star Wars Rancor Keeper can be had on eBay for just £7. That's what you're into.
He was great. He was so big and meaty. And one of the most powerful scenes in the film, of course, is when he starts crying after Luke. Luke kills his Rancor, and then he comes out, and he's crying. And this is a rare thing in Star Wars or any kind of action-based movie where you actually see a very authentic emotional fallout from a moment of extreme violence. Usually the violence happens, someone says a one-liner, you move on. And the reality of acts of violence, even minor ones, is they can reverberate and cause trauma to everyone involved or anyone witnessing, and there's a ripple effect out for a long time. Not in Star Wars. I mean, let's not forget, Luke Skywalker has blown up 2 fucking space stations, right? Which, yes, had, you know, some baddies on, but they had lots of just like normal contracted workers, builders. See what I mean? Right? And he's blown up 2 of them. There was size of planets. It's like millions of people. He's blown up too, and he hasn't given it thought in the world. And yet he's supposed to be this Jedi with like Buddhist type sort of love for all mankind, right? So that doesn't add up. And in this case, he actually gets to see. I think I always thought the Death Star, he blew it up and he didn't hear their screaming and crying. He didn't see the way their families reacted when they got the news saying, oh, your husband has been away for 3 months fitting the plumbing system on a new Imperial space station. Yes, I've missed him. I can't wait. He's due home soon. Yeah, well, he's not coming home because it was blown up by a terrorist and him and everyone else on the space station is dead. The space station's dead. Then, you know, she cries her eyes out. She has to tell the kids, Dad's dead. But yeah, and he went to do a normal job fitting the plumbing system. Yeah, I know, but a terrorist blew it up. Why? I don't know. I don't know what the political reasons are, but they blew it up. He didn't do anything wrong. He doesn't work for the Empire. No, he was a subcontractor, but as far as the terrorists saw it, he was collateral damage and it was good.
Yeah, he was a valid target. It's like when I've said before that when you watch these Marvel films and they're these set pieces where entire cities get destroyed. Yeah. Yeah. He's doing the cleanup. He's doing the cleanup the next day when it's all over.
I always think, what if you're just some, let's say you're the Deliveroo guy, and you just happen to be going to a building that has been caught in the crossfire of a UG, and you're just delivering someone's lunch, and you're not making much money, you're a Deliveroo guy, and you've got a family and everything, and then the fucking Hulk, like, kicks a building over that you're just in the reception area of, and the whole building falls on you, and you're dead instantly, right? Yeah. Hulk doesn't fucking think of that ever again. He thinks he's the good guy. But your family are going to get the news, oh, sorry, a building collapsed on him. How did that happen? He's just a Deliveroo guy. Yeah, he was delivering a sandwich. I think it was a Subway sandwich to a worker in the business district.
6-inch.
And basically, it's a weird story, but a fucking gigantic green-skinned lunatic fucking booted this building so hard that the whole thing collapsed, and your husband was in there, and now he is dead. Can I claim life insurance? No, you can't, because there is nothing about superheroes in your
policy. It's an act of God.
It's an act of God. So bad luck. So, and then but going back to Luke Skywalker and the Rancor Keeper, in this case, he does get to see the emotional fallout, because this cunt walks in crying and cuddling this creature that was his pet and who he loved, right? And Luke Skywalker just fucking walks off. See ya, con. See ya, con. But you've all learned a fucking lesson here. I'm a fucking Jedi. You set your fucking monster on me. Cunt's getting killed. Right. Come on. Where's Jabba? He's crying. Stop fucking crying, you big tart. It's only a fucking monster. It's a fucking monster. You're best off rid of him anyway. So pull yourself together, you twat.
Yeah, so free Rancor Keeper. It's a good deal, that. Or you can get one for £8.75. Or you can make an offer for it on eBay. Free postage from Barrow in Furness. In used condition, signs of wear to the paint, etc. Please view the picture.
Ooh, as the art of the item. They must have got some good usage out of this Rancor Keeper.
They've been playing with it for a fucking 40 years.
Really,
he hasn't got the hood. He's not wearing the hood.
They play with it hard. That's what I did. I would get my Star Wars figures and smash them together in a fight.
Fight them, yeah.
Yeah, like, smash, 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 smash. And that was where I wasn't thinking about future value. That was the problem.
Well, he didn't at the time, did you? It's the same. But he did with those business cards, thankfully.
Well, I was older.
Developed
by
that kind of foresight by then. Yeah.
By that time, I was in my 20s. I was a very shrewd operator.
As you still are, Sam.
Yeah.
As you still are. What are we going to look at? Yeah, well, quickly, we'll just look at this other advert that's on the other colour page. They've got colour pages for adverts, but not for the Roy the Rover story. What the fuck? And it's the Griffin Savers account, the Midland Bank, the Listening Bank, as they were called. No bank would dare call itself the Listening Bank now, would they?
Nah, they've dropped all
fuck
that
you
shit.
Very much, bank. If you're under 17 and over 7, you'll find our new Griffin Savers account has a lot to offer, and you can open one with just £10. £10, 1984, that was like fucking
quite a lot.
4 12-inch singles.
That was like, it was the equivalent of now having £100, I would say.
Probably.
Would you say that's about right?
I think so, yeah. And here's the things that you get with it. You get a free sports bag. It says for people who do bags of sport.
Love
it. You don't measure sport by bags, you measure sport by for hours, I think. A dictionary, so you'll never be lost for words. A savings book for paying in and drawing out.
I'm going to write in my savings. £2 saved this week. Write it in. Good.
And a savings file that you keep your savings book in for keeping the records straight. It's got a little little hinge clip at the top that you put your statements under, and you can build them all up and see month by month how much I've saved. I am going all the way to the top.
I am putting money aside for a rainy day and Christmas time.
This is what Mrs. Statue wants.
Yeah. I am training to be a horrid little Tory.
A project folder. It mysteriously says for collecting your thoughts. Fucking hell.
That's a bit more 2023 vibes, isn't it? Collected. That's the sort of shit they do now. That's what a bank would do now. Collect your thoughts. Remember to breathe. A bank would give you something with that on it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Is that it? Oh, a math set as well for working out all the best angles.
I've got something to tell you about this ad.
Yeah.
I was a member of this and I had all this shit.
Yeah,
I know I've told you before that I was a member
of
the NatWest one. Well, not the same. I would have used it, but not in the way it was intended. I'm not saying I've tried to put my cock in it, because that's what it came out sounding like.
Did you have the sports bag as well?
Yeah. At my school around this time, it must have been exactly this summer, we've done a huge amount of deep diving before to the rival NatWest saving, Picky Savers. But they all started doing it. It was a craze on the high street.
I had the Barclays one.
Yeah.
I was a Barclays boy.
And at my school, it became huge, right? I would have been in primary school, right, in 1984. I would have been 9 years old. And around that time, it was huge. And people started coming in. I remember Stephen Payne, the biggest lad in the year. He was the first to do it. And he came in and he always struck me as quite spoiled. And that sounds a bit judgy now, but he always had a lot of stuff, right? Right. He was always the first to have a thing. And he came in and he had two or three different like things. He had like Midland, Halifax, and of course the NatWest, which was almost the gold standard. And everyone started rushing down to the banks after school, to the high street. I remember saying to my mum, can we go up the high street? I want to join it. But £10 was quite a lot. I think I'm pretty sure the Halifax one, so I'm certain I had that too. Or maybe Abbey National, it was like a pound. And the thing is, you handed over this pound, then you got to fill in forms at the counter, which is something we've talked about before, about our fetishization of post office counter activities.
Using the pen on a chain so it wouldn't get nicked.
Yeah. And there's a, you know, we talked before about the thrill of seeing that stab, 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 yeah. Stab, stab, all that. You loved it. Your mum was always in and out of post offices, banks and other places where there was paperwork to be done, notes to be counted, stamps to be done. And, you'd look at it and you think, this is amazing. This kind of admin is what the grown-up world's all about.
Well, I can't. I don't want to go to war.
No, I can't wait. Post office. I can't wait to get involved in the world of high-level admin, right? That's how I think we all felt. And that's why these Young Savers things took off. Because suddenly, folder, bag, pens, little books to write things in. This is what I want. But you just got free stationery, quite high-standard stationery. I remember, I can see this illustration, the holder there, and I remember it. I definitely had that. Embarrassing, really, to be going to school. You know, I think I had a West Ham sports bag, and then one day I would have left that at home and come in instead with a bank with Midland Bank, with Midland Bank on it. It's my Midland Bank bag. I don't bring my football bag anymore because I've grown up and now I just carry a bank bag.
I'm a young saver. I'm on the ladder to success.
It was a great bit of marketing because I really remember all the lads in my school fucking really wanting to get involved in this, right? Which seems insane now. But like you're all running around joining up, signing up to any fucking bank that'll have you just to get your hands on the free stuff. Amazing.
Yeah. Good times. All right, let's leave it there.
Just lastly, we should mention the story wrap out. Richard Bryce, of course, was the voice of the Griffin throughout the 80s, wasn't he?
Yes.
That's why I banked with Midland and I still do bank with HSBC now, because once you associate that Richard Bryce voice with trustworthiness, don't you?
Well, of course, yeah.
And I always remember this Griffin. I thought he's a good lad. I like him. I can trust him with my money.
Nice. All right, and that's the Roy the Rovers Melchester Odyssey. We failed to get into the main story. We'll try again next week. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.